Right, we're starting on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amad Beis, we're starting by the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is discussing when a woman will not be shota. It says, Arusa v'shomeret yabam, lo shotot, v'lo notlot ketuba. That both an Arusa and a shomeret yabam are precluded from drinking. You know, if there was kinui and stira, they will not drink the mesota. But on the other hand, even though they can't drink the mesota, they will lose their tuba. And Rashi points out is that because they caused their own loss, in that they were the ones who were miyached with this individual after there was kinui and stira. And since they caused themselves a problem, they were also lo notlot ketuba. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, asher tiste isha, tachat isha, or the second isha with a mapikhe, a isha la. Prat la rusa b'shomet yabam, which are not isha, they're not considered a full-fledged wife, and therefore they would not be included on the parsha of drinking. Amana l'kohen gadol, grusha b'chalutza l'kohen ediot, mamzeret v'nitina l'Israel, upat Yisrael mamzer ulnatin lo shotot v'lo notalot ketuba. In each of these instances, these are marriages that have a chiyuv lav associated with them, and therefore we don't necessarily want to preserve the marriage. Right? A kohen gadol is precluded from marrying an almanah. A grushan chulutza is a surah to a kohen hajot. An amamzeret and a nitina. A nitina is somebody from the givonim who are a sur lavo b'kahal. Ubat Yisrael amamzer u'natin, the other way around, where it's a Jewish woman and there's a mamzer natin, all of these are marriages that we do not want to preserve, therefore are lo shotot, they don't drink, but they don't also lo notlot ketubah, that they don't get their ketubah even though they are unable to drink. Now the parsha, because the parsha of sota, again the whole purpose of parshat sota is either to find the woman guilty or to preserve the marriage. And the all of these and their character we don't want to preserve this marriage, and therefore one side or the whole parsha is not necessarily relevant to them, and because it's not relevant, they are not shotot. So success over here, why did the Mishnah split up? We're going to see a number of, we said one section, Arusa and Shomer Diabam, then we're going to see the list that we just had, and there's actually an additional items that say that lo shotot, lo not lo ketuba. They don't drink, and they don't get their ketuba. Why did the Mishnah write them all in a single list? Why did they divide them up into different categories? Tosa says maybe because the reasoning is different behind them. The reason for Arusa and Shomer Diabam has to do with the fact that she's out of wife. Right. As versus the others, which are inappropriate marriages, and since they're inappropriate marriages, we don't want them to continue. But Tosa points out that it doesn't work so cleanly, it's not such a clean break, but at least he makes that suggestion in dividing up the Mishnah. Omeret Tmei'a Ani, Ushibola Idim Shihi Tmei'a. Woman who says that I am Tmei'a, or to have Edim saying that she is Tmei'a, but Omeret Eni Shota, right? And she says that I will not drink. So in all these cases, these are cases where she does not drink, obviously, because either she's found to be tmeya, or she's refusing to drink. In all these instances, she also loses her ketuba, either because she did something wrong, right, that she was tmeya, or the edim came and said she was tmeya, or because she's refusing to drink, and her refusal to drink loses her ketuba in this case. Now, if Amar Bala any mashka, right, if the husband says, I don't want to give her the drink, oh, shebala baleha baderech, or the husband had relations with her on the way up to Yerushalayim to bring her to drink after the kinui and stira, and there was a day stira, so then, notlot ketubah velo shotot. In these cases, since it's the avlad, or the problem is from the tzad ha-baal, therefore she doesn't drink because the baal is preventing her, either because he's not forcing her to drink or because he did something wrong which prevents her from drinking. But no clothes, ketubah, right? She still gets her ketubah in these cases, because it's not her, because of her, that the drinking is not taking place. I mean, that she's willing to drink, it's the husband's ma'akev here. Now, meitu ba'aleim ad shelo shatu. What happens if their husbands passed away before they had a chance to drink? Bechamrim omrim notzlot ketubah v'lo shotot. I mean, again, this is the same as the previous cases where it's the husband is being ma'akev, the drinking of the mesota, and therefore, right, Bechamrim omrim notzlot ketubah, she gets her ketubah v'lo shotot. Oh, she doesn't drink because her husband's not around anymore. Betilal omrim o shotot Either they drink or they don't get their ketubah. Again, the Gemara will discuss what that means, what Beit Hillel is saying over here. Alright, Uberet Chavero. Someone who married his friend's wife, who was a Mi'uberet, she was pregnant. Umeneket Chavero, or a wife, a woman who was previously married and now had children and was nursing. Lo shotot velo notlos ketubah, divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, this person, when he married this woman, did it inappropriately, because you're not allowed to marry a woman who is pregnant or nursing, right, until she's completed 2 years of nursing, because we're afraid for the protection of the ubar and the protection of the nursing mother, that she doesn't get married during that period of time. So Rabbi Meir says, since this is an inappropriate marriage, she doesn't drink, and she doesn't get her ketubah. The problem with this marriage is not a permanent problem, it's only a temporary problem, which means that even if he cannot necessarily be married to her in this instant, but if he waits a certain duration of time, he will be able to be married to her. So therefore, it makes sense that she could drink the mesota, because their marriage could be preserved in the long term. It might be in the short term that they can't be together, but in the long term they will be able to be together. Next categories are Eilonit, Uskena.
So how did you say that she drinks?
Right, correct. Eilonit, Uskena, Vishaina Royulelate. This is a woman who is an Eilonit, right? She was unable to conceive. Skena, she is too old to conceive. Vishaina Royulelate, or she is not able to have children. Rashi says, why is she not able to have children? Ishishatat Kos Ikarin. She took some sort of action that made her incapable of having children, meaning that she wasn't naturally unable to have children like an Eilonit, but rather she did something that caused her to be unable to have children. Over here, just to spend some time on exactly trying to differentiate, why did Rashi go this way, and how do you differentiate between Eilonit, Akara, Shena Royulelate? These are all synonymous terms in a sense, and how do you differentiate between these terms? Do they have nuances, or do they all mean the same thing? So, because of all these items, lo not lo ktuba v'lo shotot, because since this woman is not ru'uya for piriya u'rivia, the man cannot be married to her because he cannot accomplish pru'urvu through this woman. Therefore, she doesn't get her ktuba and she doesn't drink, because this is not a marriage, again, that we're trying to preserve. Meaning that this is the problem here is not that he can't be married to these women. He can be married to these women. He can accomplish puruvu through a different woman. So it's not necessarily that this marriage is inappropriate. It's just that these women will not necessarily accomplish what he needs to through marriage. Sharkol and Ashim, any other women, oshototz, olo no tlot ktubah. Right? Either they drink, or they don't get their ketubah. And that's the prerequisite. Prerequisite for getting your ketubah is that you must drink. If you don't drink, then you're not going to get your ketubah. Eshet Kohen, Shota, Umuteret Lebala. Wife of a Kohen drinks, and then she is Muteret Lebala. She can return to her husband, meaning that if she drinks and the waters are not building for her, she's permitted to return to her husband. Eshet Saris, Shota, Ayadei. Now, Eshet Saris, this is a man who cannot now appropriate, she drinks, and this assumes, again, Rashi is going to point this out, we're going to see in the Gemara today, that this is only when if the man became a Saris after they were married, meaning that the Kedushin and the original marriage were fine, and that the original yoke of the husband created a marriage, but now he's unable to appropriate, so therefore she's still Shota, because this marriage is still intact. They call Arayot Mikanim, that a husband can be Mekaneh, or he can have a Kinui, with regards to any of the Arayot, meaning that he can warn his wife not to be secluded with any of the Arayot. Chutz, splitting a Katan, right? They can't use a Katan. Umi She'eno Ish. Right, anybody who's there, not including a katan or not an ish, and that the Gemara will explain. What does it mean, eno ish? Do we just say a katan? Because the problem is, it says in the parsha, beginning parsha, so this says the shachav ish ota. Right, in the pasuk b'dimo it says shachav ish ota. So the requirement of ish, that you have to have a gadol in order to have a problem here with the parshat sota. The elu, shebezin mekanin lahem. These people, bezin, does or is mekana the woman on behalf of the husband. In all those instances, the husband's unable to provide the kinui, right? So since he cannot provide the kinui, Beis Din steps in on his behalf, if they see her behaving inappropriately, and provide the kinui. What are those cases? Either nitcharesh, right? He's unable to speak anymore, speak or hear anymore. Bala, onishata, he became incapacitated in some way mentally, therefore he can't provide the kinui, or he's in jail. Right? Lola hashkata amru, not because if Beis Din warns her and gives her a kinui that she can drink the mesota, that will not cause that. Amru, ela poslami ktubata. She will lose her ktuba, meaning that all Beis Din can do. Beis Din cannot create or simulate the situation that the husband has, which is that force her to drink the mesota. But what they can do is be poslami ktubata, meaning have repercussions to her actions that she will actually lose her ktuba. Rabbi Yossi Omer, apash tota, rishiyetze ba'alami, bekasarim yishkenam. Right, so that Rabbi Yossi says, no, that even Beis Din's kinoi can help over here. How can Beis Din's kinoi help? That once the husband becomes available, then he can have her drink. Meaning that the kinoi of Beis Din can work on behalf of the husband, that once the husband is able to take her up to Yerushalayim and to force her to drink, that he can do that based on the kinoi of Beis Din. That's what Rabbi Yossi says, Chacham say no, that only the husband's kinoi is what can generate a hashkat ha-sota. Now the Gemara says about our Mishnah. The Gemara's been daik in our Mishnah. Mishnah hu de lo shatya hakinoi mikanila. Right, in the beginning of our Mishnah we said a shomeret yabam and an arusa do not drink. That's all the Mishnah says, they don't drink. But it suggests that they're not excluded from the part of the parsha of kinoi and stira. That they're still in the parsha of kinoi and stira. And why is that? The Tanu Rabbanan. Dabero ben Israel v'amarta lehem. Right, so it says, speak to Bnei Yisrael, Pasuk Gimel, Va'amarta Aleihem. So when it says, Va'amarta, that's a Lashon Ribui. Right, and therefore, that Lashon Ribui includes, L'Rabot, Arusa, V'Shomeret Yabam, L'Kinoi. That comes to include an Arusa and a Shomeret Yabam to Kinoi Sira, which is the beginning of the Parsha, which is what the Parsha is talking about in the beginning. And therefore, a Arusa and a Shomeret Yabam can have Kinoi, right, involved, or stira involved with them, but they just do not drink, in and shiltot, but it's enough to have them lose their tuba, right? The kinu and stira is what generates the ability to take away the tuba, even though they can't drink over here. Now, the Gemara wants to know, umas nisan mani, who is the author of our Mishnah, who says that both an arusa and a shomeret yabam do not drink? So Gemara says, it is Rabbi Yonatan hi. Titania, we have a braisa, right? Takat isheich, right? So it says that if this woman did something wrong, takat isheich. So when it says the term takat isheich, what does that come to teach us? It comes to teach us that prat la rusa, it's excluded rusa because she's not considered, right, isha. That's not considered marriage yet, a full nisuin. Yochoshani motzi ab shomeret yabam. I would have thought that I would exclude shomeret yabam. Tamadomar ish ish. At the beginning of the parsha of Sotah, it says ish ish. Ish ish is a lashon of ribui. So since you have a lashon of ribui, right, and you have a exclusionary term of takat isheich, so we will include, right, shomeret yabam, that she drinks, whereas an arusa will not drink. So that's the exclusion applies to arusa. The inclusion will bring a yabam into the picture. So obviously Rabbi Yosha is not the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says both arusa and shomeret yabam are precluded from drinking. According to Rabbi Yosha, a shomeret yabam will drink. So now who is it? Rabbi Yonatan Omer. Takat isheich prat l'shomeret yabam. Right, so a takat isheich comes to exclude a shomeret yabam. That's not considered his wife either, because a shomeret yabam is still not married until he has dia. That does not complete the yibum process here. She's waiting. She's in a limbo state that is awaiting him to consummate the yibum. Otsi shomeret yabam v'lotzi et arusa. Right, I would have thought maybe I will exclude, like, but similar to what Rabbi Yoshia did, that I will exclude shomeret yabam, but I will include arusa. Talmud Omar asher tisteh isha takat isha. Right, so like we said at the end of Parshat Sotah, it says zotarat knot asher tisteh isha takat isha. So we said that isha, like in our Mishnah, is an exclusionary term of wife prat la arusa. that comes to exclude Arusa. So based on this, right, Rabbi Yonatan has an exclusionary term for both Arusa and Shomeret Yabam.
Why isn't it a separate term for each exclusion?
All right, so the Gemara is going to say in 1 second. Right, good question. The Gemara is going to explain why. Mar Harlimale Arusa Dikidushe Didei Bisoklin Al Yadom. One of the opinions says that what? An Arusa is better because he generated the relationship between him and this woman. He created the Kiddushin. And number two is because of his Kiddushin, Soklin Ayado. Once they get married, once she's an Arusa, if she has an extramarital affair, she'll actually be killed. She'll get Skila from that. So therefore, since that generates a woman who is closer to him, then when it comes to including or excluding, what do? Rabbi Yoshua said, what? I included, alright, Takari Sheikh Prat Arusa, excludes an Arusa, but I included a Shemar Yabam. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan, Yonatan, when it came to excluding Takari Sheikh, he said Prat Shemar Yabam, right? But an Arusa would be more obviously his wife. And that's the difference between them, that an Arusa is, according to Rabbi Yonatan, is more likely to be included under a term called wife, because you generated the connection between you and this woman. You created the Kiddushin, and you create the Chiyuv Nisa that's going with this. Umar, Alimalei Shomeret Yabam. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshia believes that the Shomeret Yabam is more likely to be considered as a wife, Velo Mixra Mesira L'Chupa, because it's not missing Nisuin, as opposed to an Arusa who's missing one important aspect of marriage, which is Nisuin, right? Therefore, she is not considered his wife. Whereas the Shomeret Yabam is basically completely through. She's had Kiddushin, she's had Nisuin with his brother, she's just waiting for him to come along and complete the marriage here at completion, just in the sense of Bia. Whereas, so based on that, Rabbi Yoshia believes, not that, better to exclude an Arusa from Takari Sheikh, but include a Shomeret Yabam. And again, for Rabbi Yonatan, that is why he needs to limud him, because each one of them has a strength or a chumrah to their side that makes them more likely to be his wife, or less likely to be his wife. Now, we had three limudim here in that brice. We had three limudim, but they were not addressed by both parties. Meaning that you have a limud of takat isha, we had isha takat isha, we had takat isheikh, and we had ish ish. Right, so Rabbi Yoshia used ish ish to include a right Shomeret Yabam, and he used takat isheikh right to exclude an Arusa. So Mar wants to know, right, Rabbi Yonatan, what does he do with this ish ish? He only had two exclusionary phrases. He had takat isheikh, and he had said isha takat isha. So he only had two exclusionary phrases. He didn't deal with the ish ish. So what's the answer for Rabbi Yonatan? Rabbi Yonatan, hi ish ish my avidle. What does he do with it? Mibayle the rabot eshet cheresh. The Eishet Shota, the Eishet Shimum, that he uses ish ish to come and include all these types of relationships where Beis Din will be Mekane on his behalf. What are the cases where Beis Din will be Mekane on his behalf? That's an Eishet Shecheresh, right, where he can't speak and create the Kinoi, Eishet Shota, where he is, right, incapacitated mentally and therefore he can't create the Kinoi, Eishet Shimum, right, that he has some sort of, again, this Rashi says, Lakom, Betim Hom Levav, some sort of illness that prevents him from being able to be Mekaneher. So the ish here comes to include something that is outside of the realm of what we're dealing with. It comes to deal with the Beis Din, I mean Mekaneh Beis Din. And therefore, Rabbi Yonatan's left with the two exclusionary phases of Takad Isheikh and Isha Takad Isha, which comes to exclude a Shomeret Yabam and a Arusa, similar to our Mishnah. V'Rabbi Yoshia, now Rabbi Yoshia used two of the phrases here. He used the phrase of, right, he used the phrase of Takat Isheikh, right, to exclude an Arusa, and he used the Ish Ish to come next include a Shomeret Yabam. But what he didn't address is, what does he do with Isha? Takat Isha. That exclusionary phrase, what does he do with that? He uses this for Limud, V'Isha L'Ish, that we draw Hekesh between the man to the woman and the woman to the man. We'll do this later on in the Perek, right, in the Daf Chav Zayin, to discuss that when there is a problem, just like if a problem for the woman would prevent her from drinking, or a problem for the man's behalf will prevent him from forcing her to drink, then the same problem, which would be apparent in the opposite individual, will also create a problem. So for instance, if a Suma, cannot create kinoid, then if the man is blind, then he cannot create or generate a sota. So too, a woman who's blind will not be forced to drink, meaning that we will run a parallel. Whatever creates a problem for the man will also create a problem for the woman, and whatever creates a problem for the woman will create a problem for the man. Now the Gemara says, based on this, Ella Taima Dichtiv Hani Krai, right? So if we had not seen these sukim, meaning that without all these limudim that Rabbi Yoshiya and Rabbi Yonatan had, halav halki avamina rustashatya, right? So what are you going to do? What are we going to do with the fact that, right, had you not written these psukim, right, based on the push pshat, the way that both Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshiya learned, we need a specific pasuk to exclude arusa. That means that had you not had these psukim, the underlying assumption would be that an arusa would, right, drink over here. So why would an arusa drink over here? He brought a brace along with him. It says, "Mi bala day I sheikh." Right? That comes from a that this woman has a in the curse when the Kohen's talking to her that if she had bia, mi bala day I sheikh, excluding bia that was done by your husband. Right? What is that? Mishikad mashkivat baal la boel. Below shikad mashkivat boel la baal. Meaning that the underlying requirement is if it says mi baladei sheikh, means that you had deal with someone else besides your husband. If it means besides your husband, that implies that she had deal with her husband. And Arusa never had deal with her husband. So how can you say, why do you need all these limudim of Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshiya? This woman never comes into the parish of Sota because she's missing one of the fundamental requirements, which is that she had deal with her husband prior to having deal with the Boel. So so obviously we create a case where it's not the optimal situation, but we can create a situation where there is bia prior to the bia of the boel. That's where he has relations with her when she's still in her father's house, while she's in arusa. So even though he's not supposed to, he does have a bia with her, and therefore we can create the situation. Based in that case, would she be shilta? The kabata, same thing. By gabi shemretz yabam kol shabalo yabam bebeit chamia. Right. So if she comes. That has a relationship with her before he brings her into his house while she's still in her right Beit Chamia, he has a relationship. So in each of these two instances, we have a case where you can create the bia of the Baal prior to that of the Boel. But even though that's this case, we're still missing the consummation of the Yibam, and we're still missing the Nisuin, the consummation of the Nisuin. In that case, we want to know, can you?
This is
okay. Yeah, very good. The Gemara is asking your question. That's the next question, the Gemara. Very good. So in that case, right, both of these women now have fulfilled the pasuk in Bala Dei Sheikh. Do they drink? And then comes in Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshiya to have their limudim to tell you whether they do drink or don't drink. Just want to point out here, there's a very, very interesting tosos over here. When the Gemara asks about Rabbi Yonatan, what does he do with Ish Ish? Right, so the Gemara doesn't answer right up, right? Why doesn't the Gemara answer up that it does in other places? Rabbi Yonatan has this position in other places in Shas of Dibra Torah Lashon Bnei Adam. At many times when we have a double Lashon, there's a machlokas between Tanaim in many of these instances, that whether when you have a double Lashon, is that Dibra Torah Lashon Bnei Adam? That's just a literary style or representing how people speak, or is there a limud from these items? The Tosfos goes through, and it's a pretty amazing Tosfos in showing that there are many Tanaim throughout Shas that are inconsistent in their position with regards to Dibra Lashon Kenei Adam. And he points out that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon all contradict themselves through Shas. In some instances, they will have a drusha when it comes to a double Lashon, and in other places, they will say Dibra Torah Ke Lashon Bnei Adam. The Tosfos says, why do we have that inconsistency between them? The only two people he says that are consistent throughout Shas are Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, who always go in a single direction. So Tosfos over here says he says that Rabbi Akiva always says that it's not Dibra Torah Shloshim Bnei Adam, and Rabbi Shmuel always does say. He says they're only two are consistent; the others are not consistent. So Tosfos says an amazing line. That's what I'm pointing out to you. It's not really relevant to our Gemara because Tosfos is talking about more of a Shas issue. But he says if you look at the bottom line of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, says Benira. Demand the spirle, damar dibra Torah, moda, kohicha de ikale midrash vashinimle. That if there's a possible drusha, we do darshan it. Right? But how do you know when? Meaning that when? Chol Hanitznai, Sabrilihu, Dibra Torah, Gmiu, Heikha the Machi the Midrashe, Lahamid Kabbalatam, Osvaratam, Darsinan Lai. So each of these Tanaim, where they can find a limud that would support their Kabbalah, then they will darshan the double Lashon. And that's the argument. In each of these cases, right, Baha Pligi, this is what they argue about, right, that Mad Isle Damar Dibra, Mad Lesle Dibra, Mad Isle Dibra, In Lo Koachalti, Yitra Lashon Mi Mashma'ut. They don't want to take the Mashma'ut of Pasuk out of it, what it is now. Remain waiting on the Kufa, Elohim to Metzil Meir Dibra Torah, then they leave it in its place, and they don't want to change the Mashma'ut. So says an amazing thing about Dibra Torah Kolashon Bnei Adam, that if I can find a drasha that supports my position, then they won't say Dibra Torah Kolashon Bnei Adam. They'll darshan the pasuk to support their position. But what happens in all these instances where they say Dibra Torah Kolashon Bnei Adam, the other party who's arguing with them also does have a drasha for the pasuk. So what do you mean? There is a room to be darshan in all these cases. So Tosa says that we only say that there's a drasha when that would be the pashup shot in the pasuk, meaning that only if it's related to what the word would naturally mean or the pashut meaning of the word. If you take a double lashon and then say, well, because of this double lashon, I'm going to take it out of its context and create a new limud, then they're going to say Dibra Torah Lashon Bnei Adam, unless, right, it supports their position. If it supports their position, then it supports their Kabbalah or their Svara, then they're going to darshan the pasuk, like based on that, to create or to support their drasha. It's very, very interesting. Tosfos just about this concept of Dibra Torah Lashon Bnei Adam, because he points out here, Rabbi Yonatan is one of those people who's inconsistent. That in other places he says Dibra Lashon Bnei Adam, and over here he uses Ishish for a limud. So again, Tosfos says there are two qualifications. One, you're going to say it and not say it. One is that it supports your position, meaning it supports your Kabbalah or your Misora that you have. And number two is that it doesn't take it out of the context, of the natural context of the Pasuk. Otherwise, you're going to say, Dibra Torah Kelashon Bnei Adam. Just interesting Tosfos to speak about. Now, the Gemara goes back and asks what Shaul asked. He says, well, alright, that makes sense. When you're talking about Bia before marriage, when you have an Arusa who has Bia, fine. So that you're still an Arusa afterwards. But how do you consummate Yibum? The consummation of Yibum is Derech Bia. So if he goes ahead and has Bia with this woman, right, we know that if he has Bia with her, Afilu Shoge, Afilu Meizi, Afilu anything, then the Bia consummates the Yibum. And what do you mean? Now she's a full-fledged wife. Zagmar says, I should marry Yibum, Kari Slate, Ishomayali Asahi. What do you mean? She's no longer called Ishom Eretz Yibam. She's now a full-fledged wife. And if she's a full-fledged wife, what's the question anymore? Then she should be in the Parsha of Shiltah. There's no reason to exclude her. So Gemara says, Aha, my Rav. Rav says, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and the Gemara in Yivamot. The Mishnah says that a person who has a bia with a woman, even though it's not l'shem yibum, meaning they have all sorts of, the Mishnah actually has all sorts of cases where he has yibum with her, but it's not yibum l'shem yibum. He has bia with her, not l'shem yibum. So Rav says over there that if you have such a yibum, she becomes a full-fledged wife. It doesn't matter that that was not your intent. So Gemara says, no problem. We'll go like Shmuel. Shmuel does not say she becomes a full-fledged wife. Where you have a subpar bia, Shmuel says, Lokana lo dvarim amrim baparsha. That only thing that works, when he has bia with her, it doesn't make her into a full-fledged wife. It just brings him into the parsha of Yibum. That all the dinim of Yibum will apply to him, meaning that by Yerusha, that he gets the double portion, and the other things that are enumerated in the parsha of Yibum will apply to him, but she does not become a full-fledged wife. So now, based on this, right, it makes... The Gemara is saying that we'll have to create a case or situation where this Mishnah or our Mishnah, the Limudim of Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshi are going like Shmuel, because Shmuel is one who says that when you have Yibum, when you have Bia prior to wanting to consummate the Yibum process, that does not make her into a full-fledged wife, because she's not a full-fledged wife, therefore we can exclude her from the Psukim. The Gemara says, okay, so let's set it up this way. Lema Rav, the Amar Rav Yoshia. The Rav holds like Rabbi Yoshia, Ushmuel the Amar ki Rabbi Yonatan. Right, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yonatan, because what did Rabbi Yonatan say? Rabbi Yonatan says both an Arusa and a Shomeret Yabam are excluded from the Parsha, because they both don't qualify as full-fledged wives. So the fact that a Shomeret Yabam is not a full-fledged wife, that works well according to Shmuel. That's exactly Shmuel's position. The fact that Shmuel has that position now works well with Rabbi Yonatan. On the other hand, Rav believes that a Shomeret Yabam is a full-fledged wife. If she is a full-fledged wife, then she should be included. Right. So that's what our case here, that's the Gemara set it up. The Gemara setting up. In order to not have a problem with Bala Dei Sheikh, they have to have a case where he had Bia prior to pointing to a full, I mean, prior to wanting to have a Yibum, a Bia for Yibum, he had Bia with her. And according to Rav, that makes her a full-fledged wife. If she's a full-fledged wife, then Rabbi Yoshia's lien would make sense. Rabbi Yoshia says Arus is excluded because she's not a full-fledged wife, but Shomer Yibam is a full-fledged wife, and she is included, so that would work well going to Rav. So let's say that Rav and Shmuel's Machlokes is the same as Machlokes of Rabbi Yonatan and Rav Yoshi over here. That's a good point. So the Gemara says, as always, the Amoraim do not want to be pigeonholed into, right, Rav and Shmuel don't want to be pigeonholed into the Machlokes of Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshi. So it says, Amar Lecha Rav, Ana da Amre Afilu Li Rabbi Yonatan. Rav says, I can explain my position even according to Rabbi Yonatan. Why? Meaning that the fact that the pasuk, you need a specific pasuk to come to exclude the woman over here, Shomer Yibam, that implies that she's a full-fledged wife. If she wasn't a full-fledged woman, then of course she wouldn't be included in the Parsha of Sotah. If she's not his wife, then why are we talking about the Parsha of Sotah at all? The fact that we need a pasuk to tell you she's not his wife, right, tells you that she is his wife, but she doesn't drink. That's the whole, that's the Kiddush of the Levite here. So Rashi says, well, if that's the case, right, then what does Rabbi Rav do with Rabbi Yoshia? Rabbi Yoshia has a specific limud, right, to include a Shomeret Yibam. Right, doesn't she have, she has to be ish, includes the Shomeret Yibam. So why does he need a limud to include Shomeret Yibam if it's so obvious that it's his wife? So Rashi says, oh, no problem. That is, ish is lav dafka, la smakta ba'alma. That's a smakta ba'alma, but the real limud is that a Shomeret Yibam is a full-fledged wife. Right, so Rashi does that, and then the other way we're going to see in a second has the same problem going the other way. Ushmuel amar ana damri filu Rabbi Yoshia. I can even hold like Rabbi Yoshia. I mean, it's a kradri buye. Right, the fact that Rabbi Yoshia needs ish to tell you that Shomeret Yibam does drink, what's implied in that? That she's not a full-fledged wife. If she was a full-fledged wife, you wouldn't need a pasuk to include it. So now that she's a full-fledged wife, I specifically need, if she's not a full-fledged wife, like my position, that's why he needs the pasuk of ish, rebuyim, if I love ish to he klal, right, that she's not a full-fledged wife to him. So again, the problem is now, what do you do? According to Shmuel, what do you do with Rabbi Yonatan? Rabbi Yonatan has a specific limud to tell you that a yavama is excluded. If naturally a yavama would be excluded, right, because she's not a full-fledged wife, why do you need a specific limud? So Rashi again says, oh, it's a smakta ba'alma. So Rashi solves the problem for both of them by holding the other more. That the other position that they used to hold, like with Murad, this position becomes a smakta ba'alma. Tosa says, what do you mean? Tosa says, why does Rashi go in that position of saying that it's a smakta ba'alma? Right? He goes, first of all, how do you know that she's really excluded? Because I'll just read the line. It says, "Nehi talav ishtohi." All right, well, great. Let's say, according to Shmuel, it's not a full-fledged wife. Talav ma'atay krom. He contains the being an ishtot tzvei l'inyan hashkam l'inyan kinoi. But we already said before that kinoi applies even to arusa and shomeret yibam. So how do you know the differentiate between arusa and shomeret yibam with regards to kinoi versus shpia? Meaning that even though a woman's not a full-fledged woman wife, she still has the classification of kinoi and shpia and can lose her ksuba. So why in that case do you not need a full-fledged wife, and by shpia do you need a full-fledged wife? That's the point of the psukim. The whole point of the psukim is even in an instance, right, where she isn't a full-fledged wife, I wouldn't actually exclude her because we see kinoi, she is included for kinoi and shpia. So that's why I need a specific limud to tell me that she is excluded from the psukim over here. So it doesn't say he doesn't think Rashi's right about saying it's an Esmakla Balma. Because even if you think she's a full-fledged wife, or according to Rav, or even if you think it's Shmuel, he's not a full-fledged wife, we'll still need these Limudim over here to change, or to say that Shia is different than Kinoi and Stira. Okay, we'll stop over here.